This morning, verse 21. Our text this morning just is going to focus on that particular verse. Jude, if you're not quite sure where it's at, just go to the end and back up a little bit. It's right before Revelation. It's a small letter. Verse 21. Let's read together. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Our Father, as we begin our time this morning, I pray that you will really instruct us through your word and your Holy Spirit so that we can become more like Christ in a community, in a culture, and in a world that desperately needs to know the Lord Jesus. We're so thankful for Elise and her testimony as a young child. Lord, that she will grow and become more like Christ each and every day. Help her parents, grandparents, extended family to be good role models and teachers of her in this faith. In Jesus' name, amen. How often do we say to a loved one on their way out the door, okay, be careful. All right, watch out for that. Be safe. Drive safely. Look both ways before you cross the road. I think what we're trying to say is we're simply trying to tell them as much as it depends on them, right? You can't control other cars, you can't control other people, but as much as it depends on you, you need to be real careful about how you move and walk around and the choices that you make. And so in no sense at all when we say the word, you know, hey, watch out, be safe, be ready, be prepared, that we're saying to them, by the way, if you aren't prepared and if you aren't going to be safe, then you are not my child anymore. No, we wouldn't even think of anything like that. Obedience to God does not justify us. Faith does. And we need to understand that when we go into this particular verse, because this could be a hard seeing for some Christians and has led some to go down the wrong path when it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. What is Jude talking about? Well, in his letter, Jude is really providing us with some good advice. I want to speak, though, to the false teaching that sometimes comes from this, the idea that somehow we're able to maintain and hold on and to participate in our own salvation. That is not at all what's going on here. In fact, earlier in the letter, on both ends, verse 1, the first verse, and the very last verse of this book are two things that Jude brings across to us to help us get in context what he's talking about. In the first verse, he talks about them, those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. That right there is a strong statement that it is God who calls people to himself. Did you think somehow I came in awareness on my own that I need God? No, God is the one who even provides the opportunity for us to think and know that we have a need. People are trying to fill that need. We see that all the time, right? We see it every day. We read about it in the papers, and they get themselves in trouble oftentimes for trying to fill a need that only God can fill, and God calls people to himself. If you go to the last verse in this letter, it's a very famous ending. You've heard it many times probably. Now to him who is able to what? Keep you. Who keeps you? Him. Who's him? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Wow, so both ends, he's made it very clear what he believes concerning the eternal security of a child of God. We are called by God, we are kept by God, and it is God, the Father, the Son is going to present us to the Father completely perfect in him when we put our faith in him. So Jude is simply, when he comes to this thing about guarding or keeping ourselves, we need to understand what exactly he's talking about. Now, the word he uses is a Greek word called tyreo. I know that's a famous word you use all the time in everyday speech. But it simply does mean to guard, to protect, to pay attention to. And he's using it in a sense of an active voice, in the sense, this is something you and I do daily. So we have this faith that we have received from Jesus Christ. That faith was instilled to us. We were called by God. And now he's building us up, making us more like him. It's something we need to pay attention to. There's a lot of people that, we've said it before, like fire insurance. In other words, the only reason they come to God is to get out of hell, to get that card. I got my get out of hell card, but I want to live my life the way I want to. That's not living in the faith at all. So God called us to a faith. He called us to himself. And by faith, we live that life. So it's something that we do every day. It's in an imperative mood. That's a mood of command. So he's really commanding the Christians, you need to pay attention to how you're living. You need to pay attention. Why is he doing all this? Well, what's the purpose for the letter? Well, if you remember, he had one thing in mind. He was going to write something. Hey, give us the Hallmark card, right? You guys are awesome, you know, something funny in there. But then he heard what was going on in the church. He said, you know what? I got to put that card away. I got to put out another card. Guys, you got problems going on here. There's a lot of attacks going on in the church. And so that's the reason for the letter. So he says, you need to pay attention to what's going on and guard yourself, keeping yourself in the love of God. So he's not telling them that so that they keep their salvation, because as we've seen in this letter, salvation is kept by Christ and in him alone. That's it. So if you're trying somehow today to think that, well, you know, I'm working hard, I'm trying to live by faith the best that I can, well, I'm glad you're trying to live by faith. You ought to try to live by faith. We all ought to do that. But it does not bring us to God. Only Christ can. That's why he came. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for the sins that you and I committed, and that penalty separated us from God. And only God himself can bring forgiveness for us. We enter into heaven. We enter into relationship with God only through faith in Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord. That's it. The Bible is about calling you and I to believe in that. That's what brings us in to the family. Just to remind you, it's a verse you already know, many of you. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. That includes you. You can't either. Amen. But as we continue to live on in this presence of God's love, we need to realize that there's things that we must do. So when he says, keep yourselves, he's telling you, basically, there's a sphere of the blessings that's involved in being in a relationship with God. Now, you are in the relationship, but as far as enjoying the blessings of it, you must remain in a certain sphere. I know that sounds strange, but you know the stories. How about the prodigal son? So he was already a child of the Father. Just because he left, he didn't change his name, okay? Now he was a prodigal. He had walked away, and all the blessings that he could receive, being in the Father's presence and the Father's home and the Father's property, all that was there, he was unable to. Now he enjoyed his time. Sin is fun for a while, and if anyone tells you anything different, they're lying. Sin can be a lot of fun. Woohoo! For a while. And then you pay for it. So, it's kind of, I have this computer board at home that I use. I didn't want to have to mess with wires, so it's solar. You've seen them. And so the only way it works, at least now, is I have to have this light turned on and shining right into those solar cells, I guess, because when I try to run it ever without it, even though I turn it on, it doesn't want to work. But as soon as I turn that light on, it wakes up. So I think about that in the Christian life. I think it's we're still Christians, but we're become ineffective, unable to do anything because the light isn't being shined at all on it. There's no energy. When we are in the sphere of God's love, that is obeying and following after him, we are involved now. We are in the presence of the receiving the blessings of God. And that's really what Jude is going after here. I saw a documentary once of a lioness fighting multiple hyenas. You know, the hyenas and the lions are absolute mortal enemies. They hate each other. I mean, they'll go out of their, lions will go out of their way, even endanger themselves, just to kill hyenas because they hate them that much. Well, this lioness got away from the pride, but she had her cub with her. And the hyenas said, opportunity. So they went and they tried. It's an amazing video where she fights off multiple ones and they run away. Why? Because her cub was there. You do the same, right? Wouldn't you do the same for your loved ones and friends? Of course you would. And why was that cub safe? Why? Because he was near the mom. I think that's the idea. When he says keeping yourselves in the love of God, he's not saying it is your responsibility to stay saved. He's saying as you walk in with Christ and you are closer, you remain with him, he then offers his sphere of protection, his sphere of love for you. And like the prodigal who finally woke up and said, you know what? I'd be better off just serving in my dad's house than whatever's going on here. And he finally came to a sense and he went back and received the blessing of his father. You see this principle at work all the time, even in Old Testament. In fact, it's all over the Old Testament. Let me read for you Deuteronomy 28. This is the Lord speaking to him. If you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, did you catch that? If you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, that would be remaining in his love. That would mean keeping, seeking after his love. Be careful to do all his commands that I have commanded you today. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations. Woo! I like that. And all these blessings. Anyone like blessings? All right, about half of you do. Well, the rest of you, don't worry. You won't get one today then. But for those of you who want one, you know, and really like to receive one, the God, Lord God will set you high below, and you shall receive these blessings. They'll come upon you. I love this part. And they will overtake you. Can you imagine a blessing chasing you down and overcoming you? I bet that's the way you felt when you held your child for the first time. Right? Whoa! It just overcame you. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, Jesus makes that connection in the New Testament, doesn't he? You remember? He said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. That sounds so negative, but it's so positive. God is telling us, man, you want to experience a great life, an awesome life? You want blessings to fall on you, your relationships, your family, and all that? I've given you a way to do it. This is, it's right here. All you have to do is follow this family plan. It's a really good one. Keep my commandments. The love of God is established through the living word, Jesus. The love of God is expressed in his word. And the love of God is experienced through our obedience. That's it. That's what Jude's trying to say. You know, we operate in that sphere as a child. God puts on us that bulletproof, right? It's the armor we put on when we're obeying him. And we're protected. That would be really important for these folks who are getting attacks from outside and inside, and some of them aren't mature enough. They don't know exactly what to do, so he's trying to give them a battle plan. This is how, follow the manual and you'll be fine. I know a culture saying, follow the manual, you'll be blessed. I know what your friends might say, follow the manual, you will find joy. That's what he's saying. Saying, I'm giving you a standard. And it can't be everyone picks their own standard. That would be a nightmare, wouldn't it? Which is what we have in our culture today. Well, question is, are you keeping yourself in the love of God today? How are you doing? Are you keeping yourself in that sphere of blessing as we enjoy the path that God has laid out for us? He blesses us in so many ways. It's unbelievable. But I want to go into something now that maybe you haven't thought of. Maybe you have. that the Lord just struck on my mind as I was looking into this. This message about keeping yourself in the love of God for Jude is very personal. Now, I'm coming from the position, and I believe it's so, that Jude is a half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as was James and some others. Jesus did have half-brothers, you know that. And he was one of them. So this is very personal for him. You got to understand, for many years, think about it, they grew up, and Jesus was the perfect child. Oh, Mom, you're Mom's favorite. You don't think that stuff went on? I'm not saying Mary and Joseph necessarily did anything wrong, but I can tell you right now that brothers can do that. Sisters too, by the way. Oh, you're the oldest. You always get everything. Oh, they're asking. So this went on. In fact, we realized later on, there's nothing really said about their childhood. I'm just sort of proposing that that's probably what happened. But we do know from Scripture, listen to what Mark said, how they thought about him. It says, then he went home, it's talking about Jesus, and the crowds gathered around him again. I mean, that makes sense. If I hear Jesus is across the street in that building, I say, let's all run over there. Amen. We want to hear from the Lord. So we understand, makes sense. The crowd gathers. It says, so that they could not even eat. They must have been Baptists. They're worried about food. And when the family heard it, did you catch that? When the family heard it, this is from Mark's gospel, they went out to seize Jesus. For they, including his brothers, were saying, he is out of his mind. That's what they thought about him. Not 1 year, not five, not 10. These guys are all grown up. They're adults. Jesus is out of his mind. So for many years, you can imagine what life was like between them. I'm sure there was some cordiality going on there. Hey, how you doing, Jesus? How's your day? Ah, it's fine. What went on? Ah, we were able to heal 3 people over there, and 5,000 got saved, and 10,000 people. I wish you were there. Nah, sorry. And when they get done with him, they're walking away going, man, that guy's nuts. You ever have relationships like that in the family? Tension? Between siblings? Or is it just in my family? Of course we do. What you think about Jude's position, though? Man, there he is, and his entire life, to him, Jesus was a joke. What's this guy doing? He's crazy. A lot of opportunities. I don't know this now. I'm just guessing this part, but how many times do you think that Jesus would have offered to his brothers to come with him? What we know about Jesus, if he do it to a stranger, I think he's offering to, hey, guys, come on, let's go. I want to go down here to this small town. There's some people that really need to hear something. I want you guys to be a part of it. Hey, let's have some fellowship along the way. And when it's all over, we're going to stop. We're going to go to that real cool place up in the mountain. We're going to have a bonfire. We're going to have some steaks. Well, I don't know about the steak bar, but whatever it was. And they say, no thanks. Are you catching what's happening here? Jude is going through all of this. All the opportunities to laugh around the fire, to eat a meal together, to walk with their brother and enjoy and learn from him. But John's gospel in chapter 7, verse 5 says this, not even his brothers believed in him. Man, that hurts. You been there? Maybe it was a sibling. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a really close friend or someone you thought was a friend, but you felt that pain, haven't you? And someone just didn't really, they can't do it. I can't really trust them. Oh, no. And it says here that the brothers didn't even believe him. They weren't believers. They were on their way to hell. Jesus' own brothers. In many ways, the story of Jesus reminds me of the story of Joseph. Doesn't it remind you of the same? brothers turned on him, told him, get on out of here. In fact, they wanted to kill him. One of them talked him out of it, and they sold him, and he went down the river literally to Egypt and was away from him for all those great young years. They missed their opportunity. How many times do we miss opportunity with people for something that happened in the past? Maybe it was hurtful, I don't know, but not reconciling it, and all those years are lost. All that opportunity is gone. You can't get it back. You can't wish it back. I think that's what's going on with Joseph and his brothers. And I think when he finally saw his brothers, that's a hard passage. And every time I read it, I really am brought to tears. I'm not making that up. He saw his brothers and he was overwhelmed with grief for what could have been and the pain. I think that's what's going on here. I like what the Living Bible paraphrase says in Ephesians 5, where it says, you need to be careful how you act because these days are difficult. Don't be fools, be wise, and make the most of every opportunity you have for doing good. And the brothers, including Jude, missed out on years of opportunity. Heard the testimonies before, haven't you? I love to hear those testimonies of God's grace, where someone who's older in life comes down and shares how God radically changed them and they are saved. But then they go on and saying, I wasted too many. That might be what some of your testimony. I don't know. I was saved. Like, at least I was just young. I didn't stand a chance. I was the youngest of all these boys in the family. I was getting preached to by everybody. And so I come to the Lord and I realize on my own, it was on my own, by the way, as much as my brothers would have enjoyed dragging me down, the Holy Spirit spoke to me one night. Just years of faithful Sunday school teachers, years of faithful children workers, the pastor preaching, my mom and dad and all my brothers and all that. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Keith, you need to be saved. You're going to church and all. And I'm just a young guy, but I understood enough to realize I was a sinner. And to realize my sin is what sent Jesus to the cross. He paid for my sin, but I don't get to enjoy that blessing until I come to Jesus and say, Jesus, God, forgive me of my sin. I confess that to you. I am a sinner. I agree with you. I deserve hell. But Jesus died for me, and I trust in him. And I'll never forget that day. I guess Elise isn't here. It'd be fun for her to hear this. We had a baptistry that was about that big. It seemed that big to me. I had to swim to the pastor. It was over my head. When I finally reached him, I had baptized myself 3 times. Does that make me a Nazarene? I don't know. So I was a Nazarene, a Baptist, and a Nazarene. Anyway, so whatever that is. And then I made the confession in front of the church. Yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm trusting in him. That's it. That's it. That's it. And so I hear this, and now I have opportunities. And I'm saying that to you today. Don't miss out on the opportunity that you can to live in the love of God. Every day. Everywhere you go. Beginning when you wake up until you go to sleep at night. You and I have these opportunities as children of God to live in that. You bring sunshine into that workplace. How do I know that? When you're walking in the light of God, the warmth of God just brings it right on in the door. You bring light and love into that board meeting. What? Yes. As a child of God, you're able to walk in there, and as the blessing of God, as you're obeying him, and living that life, you just bring a whole new dynamic to that place. But Jude had regrets, and there was a time when he didn't believe. And I bet when Jesus was nailed to that cross, I'm just imagining now, walk away from that, but I'm wondering if Jude finally said, well, I guess that's that, and walk away. How many people every Sunday or every day during the week now hear this great, blessed gospel of Jesus Christ and walk away, and they miss the opportunity? You and I can't say after today's message, no one can say, I wasn't told, I wasn't warned, I wasn't. No, it's clear. And I wonder if he thought, that's it. Friday, that's it, it's done. And Saturday, I don't know, was like they had worship, set as the Sabbath, so they're worshiping. I wonder what that was like. Probably like you and me sometimes, you probably come to church and your mind's on everything else but church. Okay, let's just be honest, right? We got problems, we got issues, we got something coming up. And it can kind of distract us. And I'm wondering if that's what Jude was like. I don't know that. But I'm wondering if he and his family are just so upset and so down. It's kind of hard to worship today. I'm sorry, God. I don't know. My brother's dead. His craziness nailed him to the cross. He shamed us. Horrible. And then came Sunday. Man, I don't know where he was when he first heard it. We have no idea. He was obviously in the area. I don't know who told him. I don't know how it was told. Wouldn't you like to see his face, though? When he heard the news, you think he was kind of going, yeah, right. Or do you think he was going, ugh? I have no idea. But we do know this from the scriptures, that Jude believed. 1 Corinthians tells us that he did appear to James, one of Jesus' half-brothers. I don't know if Jude was there or not, but James gives an eyewitness account to the must have had an effect on Jude. And by the time we get to Acts 1, here's the scripture. I just want to read this from Acts 1. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Just jump in verse 12. This is after the Lord has ascended. So he's already there. But listen to this. He returned to Jerusalem. They returned, a bunch of them, to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, the Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, are you ready? And his brothers. Praise the Lord. They may not have started out well, but praise God they're there now. And here is a wonderful, very personal phrase to him. Listen. From experience, I can tell you, Jude's saying, it is much better to keep yourself in the love of God. For years I didn't. I didn't believe him. I thought he was a nutcase. And when he was finally crucified, there was a sense of anger, guilt, and relief all at the same time. And I didn't want anything to do with it. And then Sunday came. And I realized Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, my own brother, the Savior of the world. And when I finally repented of what I was holding on to and believed in him, my life was changed forever. The words Jude probably heard many times, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Probably just bounced right off. You ever get that in church? You ever hear a message or a lesson that just bounces right off? I've heard that before. Or, yeah, whatever. And it just bounces right off. Not this time. Not anymore. When he was saved, he was saved. He walked in this love of God the rest of his life. So the next time that you and I read this phrase, keep yourselves in the love of God, just remember who wrote it. And remember that he's not telling you and I in any way that we have to hold on to God, because if we don't, we're going to lose our salvation. He's saying, no, we're kept, we're called. He keeps us, he's going to present us. But what he's saying is, listen, I missed all these years of opportunity to be able to serve and to walk and the blessings that come by staying in the sphere of the blessing of God through obedience. And I didn't do it. I did my own thing until Jesus resurrected. And then it changed my life. And now I walk in newness of life. I walk in obedience to his commands. You and I are never safer in our faith when we love Jesus with all our heart, soul, and mind. One of my favorite verses in that national hymn, America the Beautiful, is verse 3. You know what? It says this. Oh, beautiful, for heroes proved in liberating strife. And here's the phrase that gets me every time. Who more than self their country loved. How about you? I'm so grateful for the men and women who loved country more than self and were willing to sacrifice themselves for it. And mercy more than life. Maybe Jude could have written this. God is looking for those who more than self their Savior loved. And gospel more than life. These are difficult days. But I'm telling you right now, this world doesn't stand a chance against the gospel of Jesus. You and I have the power of God as we follow and obey him in the light. They can't keep it away. They can try to make laws and rules and everything else, and boy, aren't they trying. But the love of God through the child of God can penetrate that darkness and transform life. My friend, the frowning stops today. It's time to stand and know that you have in you, if you are trusting in Jesus, the very love of God, and it's more powerful than anything this world has. It's time we exercise that. Let us covenant together today, now. As God gives us opportunity, let's change lives through Christ. Would you bow with me, please? Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful for this gospel. We're so thankful for Jude, who was willing to stick it out there and be real about how our love for you really makes a difference in our effectiveness. We can't earn our way and keep ourselves in heaven. That's all in Christ. But as believers in you, we can be ineffective by turning the light off or trying to get in the shadows by sin and disobedience or just complacency or trying to run after our own thing. We like to interpret the Bible our own way. God, forgive us for that. And I pray that right now, today, we will make a commitment. As for me and my house, we will keep ourselves in the love of God. And by doing that, we can shed light all over this town, all over this world. Help us to do that as we await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and the eternal life that comes when he comes again. And it might be today, it's coming soon. But until you do that or call us home, may we make the most of our opportunities as we keep ourselves in your love. And that can only happen in Christ alone. And with every head bowed still and every eye still closed, those who are watching, is there someone here possibly that has not experienced that great love of Jesus? This is for you. This gospel is for you. Christ died for your sins and mine, the sins of the whole world, the sin that separated us from God, and we can't earn our way. There's no way. The Bible tells us that salvation is a gift of God that comes by faith in Jesus alone. It's not by works. It's not by good deeds and good things that we do. You can't give enough money to, you can't earn your way to God. Are you kidding? We're guilty. And the only thing that removes our guilt is the blood of Christ. If you right now would just turn away from whatever you're trusting in, that is a repentance, my friend. You are turning around. You're making a U-turn, and you just simply trust in Jesus now by faith. He died on the cross for your sins and rose again. You said, that's who I'm trusting in. Like Jude, you can become a giver of light, not a walker in darkness. You can find forgiveness of sin. It will radically change you forever. I invite you right now to do that. Simply come to God and tell him so. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin that I deserve to die. And I confess now that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm trusting in you alone to save me. Thank you. Father, now I pray for those who have trusted you. They will now, with the sunlight of the Holy Spirit living within them, confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord. They will tell someone else. They'll tell me or tell a close friend. And they will find themselves growing in the faith and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the rest of us, I pray that you'll bring to fruition on our heart those people that you have laid on our hearts, that we can shed this gospel to them and give them the good news that Jesus saves. Amen. Pastor Dan.